Which is Alec, how was your Greybeard trip? It was good.
The trip itself was very, very good, but I must tell you, I'm getting tired of babysitting 125-year-olds.
What do you mean?
I need this. I need it's too hot. It's too cold. It's too
100,
far.
120.
Yeah, we took a trip with the 120 seniors north.
Oh, I see.
And
I
I'm
thought.
telling you, my wife tells me as you get older, any meter that you have becomes accentuated. If it's a good meter, it's stronger. If it's a bad meter, it's stronger. I'm telling you.
I thought Bjorn Freilich does that. I thought that's his what he
He
does.
does, but if he's not around, it's all good. It's all good. It's stressful.
Okay, I was checking my beard. I see some gray hairs. Do I qualify?
Okay. Okay, you bet. You
Yeah, I
bet.
can come next time.
Graybeard Jr.
Where did you go to?
It's
Where
going down to graybeard in training.
We went up
Graybeard in
north. There's a fabulous new museum that we discovered at Shar Hagai.
training.
It's a museum of the how they broke through the road one from tele to during the independence, during the war in 47 and 48. And it's an amazing museum. Everybody was really very, very impressed. And we went to Atlit, the detention camp. We went to El Ram. We went to Gamla. We went to Tel Gezer, Tel Hatzor.
Gosh, running around.
I
Yeah.
lived in Chatzor for 6 months.
Really?
Did you
Wow.
go to Chone Am Argel?
No, we didn't. We didn't have time. We didn't have time. We were gonna do Mincha there, but the sun was setting too
There's a
quick.
big gera chassid shchuna there.
Yeah, I heard that.
Very strange, in the middle of this big Moroccan thing, all of a sudden the Gera Hasidim over there. It's very strange. I lived there for 6 months when I was 18.
Did
That's
you
a
have
whole
any,
story.
it was a good trip.
Did you have Nir Sarusi coming?
No, not this time.
You had any entertainment, or was
And we did. We had this woman, Ilana Yahav. She's a sand artist. Have you ever seen the sand artist perform? It's
Yeah,
amazing.
amazing.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
You probably didn't pay her dirt wages, did you? Ah.
Sand wages.
Great. Okay. So a good time was had. Well, you had good weather?
Beautiful. It rained a little bit in the morning, but that was good.
Okay.
Got everybody's joints creaking.
You still take anybody to give a share or not anymore?
No, we didn't this trip. We had Dafyomi for those who wanted to do Dafyomi, but.
Okay. Right, back to our story. We're on the second wide line, Tonarabonon. Tonarabonon, Dine Momenus Beshloisha, which is a phrase that by now we are very, very used to. Dine Momenus Beshloisha, Rabbi Omer Bechamisha. Now, this is a new opinion. Rebbe is of the opinion that you have to have five dayanim. Now, we've never seen this so far. Five dayanim. Now, we know why anybody would require three. We've learned this already. It says the word Elohim three times. It certainly does not say the word Elohim five times. So, where would you come up with the number five from? So, Rebbe adds three words. Rabbi Omer b'chamisha, kedei, or four words, kedei sheyigmar hadin b'shloisha. In order so that you would be able to have a gemar din b'shloisha. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kedei sheyigmar hadin, im yechalku. Because if there will be divided opinion, shiyehi shloisha roiv, Well, then at least you'll still have a majority of three. V'neilech achareihem, and you will go after their opinion. So it's a very peculiar line. We don't really understand what Rebbe means. Because if you have three dayonim to start off with, you can also have a majority. Five is not the only number that you can produce a majority from. So the Gemara immediately asks that. Back into the Gemara, Otu, which is always means a question, Bitlosa. If I have three, me, loy, gemar, dina, betray, would I not have there also a majority? You're right, it won't be three, it'll be two. Worst comes to worst, there will not be a unanimous decision. That's fine. So then out of the three dayanim, two will say one way, one will say the other, and that will be fine. I'll follow the two. So the Gemara qualifies, the Gemara explains. No, hachiko. What he meant to say was, mipnei shegmar din b'shlesha. Not in order to allow there to be a majority opinion. Yes, you can have a majority if I only start off with three as well. But rather, Rebbe requires that the final psak should be three. Not that the majority of three, which can even mean two, but rather you have to have the final psak of three. So if the final psak has to be three dayonim, well, then you've got to have five. Because in case there's a split decision. So when he said you have to have five dayonim, he didn't mean because we need to have a majority. A majority you can have if you only start off with three. What he meant was you must have, in the final analysis, three dayonim expressing a particular opinion. So if you only have three to start off with, then it might be a split decision. Two will say innocent, one will say guilty, but then I don't have three dayonim telling you one particular thing. If I have five, then I'm guaranteed to have at least three dayonim in one particular direction.
It almost gives the illusion of having a based in of three giving a unanimous opinion. That's
Right.
probably why.
Right. In other words, we're going to see this in the Gemara in a moment. We've always learned from the Psukim that you have to have three. So we were always under the understanding that three means the initial Beis Din. The initial Beis Din have to be three, of which you go with a majority. Rebbe seems to be learning, no, a Beis Din of three means the final Psak, not the initial Moishav Beis Din, but rather the final Psak Beis Din. For Larry, nobody needs to hold a hand. Just ask.
I don't want to. I could be talking all day, so I need to raise my hand.
Really quick. We'll put you on. We'll mute
If
you.
if he's saying Eliyahu said, Eliyahu David said, if he's saying the final psak of three, why do you need five? Why doesn't he just say you need is three unanimous? Why does he have to have five for Rove? He should just say you need three all three judges, and they have to all agree.
Because they don't all have to agree.
But they do. If he's saying you need a psak of three to agree, why does it have to be Rove? What does Rove do for you? He just
No.
say we should have three judges, and they all have to agree. And if they
The
don't, it doesn't. It's not a din.
Torah says that you follow the majority. That's non-debatable. It says, Achrei Rabim Lahatis. We know we go with the majority.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
I've always got to fulfill that criteria, but doesn't mean the majority from three or majority of three. Which means you, by definition, require five. The Gemara explains now.
I forgot the hat those thing. Okay.
Have a look. The Gemara explains. The Gemara says, Alma, last word on the line. Alma, we see Kosova, that he must hold that Tlosa, Ki Ksivi, when the Torah writes the magic number three, of course, the Torah never actually wrote the number three, but it's a drasha. So when the Torah writes the number three, begemar dina ksivi, like we said before, we know that you have to have three. We've already discussed this at great length, Elohim three times. So until now we were under understanding that three means the amount of Dayanim on the Bezdin. We also know there's a pasuk, Achre Rabim Lahatais. So if you put those two pieces of information together, it's an initial Bezdin. Excuse me, initial Bezdin of three. And you go with a majority of that, which means two out of three. Says the Gemara that Rebbe seems to hold differently. Rebbe seems to hold that when the Torah wrote three, what does three mean? Not that's the amount of Dayanim on the Bezdin and you take the majority of that. Rather, the majority must be three. The only way to guarantee that you have a majority of three is to have a Bezdin of five. Seems to me that's what Rebbe holds. Why is that a problem? Says the Gemara, Megadef bo Rebbe Avohu. Rebbe Avohu got very upset with Rebbe. Elo meato. So now that you're telling me that the numbers written in the Torah are not referring to how many Dayanim on the Bezdin, but rather how many must have the final Psak Halacha. Well, we also know, for example, that a Sanhedrin Gedola has to have 70 Dayanim, or 71, we saw Machlokes. So we always understood that 71 means you have 71, and then you go with the majority of that, which is 36. But if you're telling me that no, the numbers taught in the Torah are not the numbers of how many Dayanim in the first place, rather, how many must come up with a final Psak Din, then if you work it out, says the Gemara, Elo Me'ato Tehe Sanhedrin Gedoilo Tzricha Me'o Va'arboim Ve'echot. Are you going to tell me, therefore, that Sanhedrin Gedoilo needs 141 Dayanim? Why 141? In order to arrive at a majority of 71. We always thought that the numbers given in the Torah is the numbers of Dayanim in the Bezdin, of which you take the majority. But you're now telling me, no, when it says three Dayanim, it means that has to be the majority. So you've got to start off with five. So if you follow that through to its logical conclusion, you're going to end up telling me also that 71 means 71. That's the majority. So we're going to have 141 in the first place. Kedei sheyigmar hadin b'shivim ve'echod. So that the gemar din will be 71. So too, the question could be continued. V'tehei Sanhedrin ketano. For the same price, you're going to say that a small Sanhedrin, which needs 23 Dayanim, Sricha Arboim V'chamisho. According to this logic, is going to require 45 Dayanim. Why? Again, Kadesh Igmar Adin B'Shloisha V'Esrim. Without Rebbe, I would have said that 23 means the initial number of Dayanim, and you go with the majority of the 23, which means 12 out of the 23. But if you tell me that no, that's the number that you've got to come up with at the end, not in the beginning, well, I'm going to require 45 Dayanim so that I can produce a majority of 23. Nobody's ever heard such a suggestion. Nobody's ever said you have to have 141 Dayanim on a Sanhedrin Gedola. Nobody ever said you need 45 on a Sanhedrin Ketano, says the Gemara, and I'll tell you why. Elo, because Esfoli Shivim Ish, quote unquote, Omar Rachmana. The Torah writes, gather for me 70 people. So you see that what's the number being referred to? Not how many Dayanim I have to have at the end of the day, rather, how many have to be gathered in the first place? Misha'as Asifa Shivim. You see that the Torah is not talking about how many Dayanim I've got to end up with, but rather how many I have to gather. and it says 70. So too with the number of 23. V'shoftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda. If you remember, where did we come up with the number 23? Because eda is 10. It says it twice, there's 20, and then there are a couple of other words. So v'shoftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda. What does v'shoftu mean? That the judges judge. Doesn't say how many come up with the final psak. How many judges are there judging? Says the Gemara, Nami. So to that posuk also, Misha'as, from the time, Shvitas Ho'eda. From the initial time, how many judges have to be there judging? Not how many must come up with a final psak. So you see that the numbers in the Torah are never referring to the final Gemara Din, rather, how many must be formulating the Beis Din in the first place? So if that's true with 70, and it's true with 20, says the Gemara, Hachanami. So the same logic should hold true. V'nikrav balabais el ho'elohim. What does v'nikrav mean? That the balabais means the litigant should approach the Beis Din. So again, what are we talking about? How many must be approached? Mishas krevo shloisho. Again, it says Elohim three times, but the pasuk used is v'nikrav balabais. It doesn't say anything about how many dayonim have to come up with a final psak. Rather, how many must be approached to adjudicate? So I have the magic number 70, I have the magic number 23, and there clearly it's inherent in the psukim that the critical number is how many begin, not how many end. So why would I not say the same thing also with a number 3? But if the Torah says the nikrav balabais, it means the balabais has to approach the following number. The following number is 3. So I see I don't need to end up with 3. I need to be approaching 3 to formulate a Beis Din of 3. So where on earth do you get the number 5 from? Have a look at Rashi. Otu. When the Gemara initially asked the question, Otu, ki hava tzlosa meyikora, if I would have 3 from the outset, mi loy gomir dino betray, would I not be able to have a Gemara din of 2? What's wrong with that? The answer was in the beginning, mipnei Gemara din shetzorich shloisha begemara din. You actually need 3 in the final analysis. And that was the Gemara's question. Why? Elo me'ato. Now that you're telling me, dekroi, that all the psukim that we've brought as a source to how many numbers of dayanim are needed, begemara din kaimi, are all referring to the gemara din. They're not referring to how many dayanim initially formulated the Beis Din. So are you going to tell me now, Tehei, Sanhedrin, Gedolah, etc., etc., 145 dayanim? No! Nobody ever said that. Why not? Elomai taima loy omrit hochi. So what is the reason why you do not need 145 dayanim? The isfali. Because it says esfali, that's how many have to be gathered. This is all part of Rabavol's question. Rabavol komar lo, this is Rabavol talking, lekula milso beloshen kushya. This is all one very long, lengthy kasha. When it comes to 145, you agree that I don't have to have that number. Why not? This is all part of Rabavol's question because it says esfali. And so too, the next Rashi, v'shoftu ha'edo, V'yalfino mine, we learn from that posuk. V'masnisin in our Mishnah, Chof Gimel, L'Sanhedrin Ketano. So there too also, the number is not how many you end up with, it's how many you begin with. In which case, here we get to the final analysis of the question. V'nikrav balabais elho Elohim. D'yalfino mine. That we learn from it, the number 3, Mishas Kravo, from the time that the Beis Din was initially approached, Ka'omar, that is what we're referring to. So when the Torah says the number three, it's not l'chayra, how many need to be there on the final psak, but rather how many are approached in the first place. So where on earth does Rebbe get this new number that we've never met yet so far, which is five? Says the Gemara, back into the Gemara, Elo, our favorite word. We know whenever we have Elo, the Gemara's backtracking. You're right, we're backtracking. The reason why Rebbe requires five, and it's true, he does require five, is not for reasons that you thought until this point. The reason why Rebbe requires five is not because there is some halachic stipulation which says that you have to end up with three as the Gemara din. No, that's not the point. Rather, the way he learns the psukim is such. The way he interprets the psukim, he has a drosha that teaches me I've got to have five. So you can't start asking me questions about 71 and 23. This is a specific drosha with regard to this bezdin. Why? Sigmar explains. Elo hainu time with the Rebbe. Rather, what is the reason behind Rebbe? The Lashon of the Torah is Asher Yarshiun Elohim. How do you spell the word Yarshiun? Yud Resh, Shin Yud, Ayin Vov Nun. With the Vov in it, it becomes plural. If I say, for example, in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, he ate, so that's Ochal. They ate, I put a Vav at the end, Ochlu. Diber, he spoke. Dibru, they spoke. So if it says Asher Yarshi'u, that does not mean one, that by definition is Lashon Rabim, it means two. Asher Yarshi'un Elohim. How many Elohims do I need? So far, two. Okay. Asher Yarashion Elohim Trey. That means not one, two. Now, how many times does it say Elohim altogether in the Pasuk?
Three.
So altogether it says it three times. But if you remember, early on in the Gemara we had a discussion. There is one opinion that says that the first time it says Elohim, that's not available for a drasha b'chol. We don't darshan tchilos. As we're going to see in a moment, Rashi tells us that Rebbe is going with that opinion.
But
One second, Steph. According to Rebbe, of those three Elohims, the first one is not available for a drasha at all, so we put that aside. So how many have I got to play with? Just two. Of which, the first one, it says Asher Yarshiun, which is plural, so that means two. Says the Gemara, so we have now a Gzeira Shava. Ne'mar Elohim Lamato, v'ne'mar Elohim Lamalo. We have Elohim written further down, and we have Elohim rather further up. So we copy and paste. This is the principle of Gzeira Shava. Ma Lamato Shnayim. Just like the one written below is referring to two. Why? Because as we just explained, it says Asher Yashiun. So too, Aflamalo. So to the initial Elohim, even though over there it doesn't say two, but by Gzeirah Shava, it also has to mean two. So Aflamalo Shnayim. So far, how many Dayanim have we got? Four. Remember, again, the first word Elohim is not available b'chlal. So, of number one, two, and three, Elohim number one, we ignore.
It's actually Elohim number two, the middle one. Because then we say there's one above and one below. True?
You know, so to the contrary, it's Elohim number three that we're focusing on. Elohim number one, we're ignoring. Elohim number three is written in plural form. That's lamato. So therefore, that demonstrates that so too the one that was written slightly earlier, that's the Elohim lamalo, also has to be understood to mean two.
It's not Asher Yeshu'un Elohim actually number two in the middle? Of the three that are mentioned in the pasuk, if I remember correctly, that's the middle one.
I don't have a chumash in front of you. Somebody have a chumash in front of them?
I think that's why it says that one. You don't do a drush on that, but you can take the one above and the one below. In other words, we learn two from the middle one, and then we can't make a drusha from that, but you go above and below. Is that what it means by above and below?
I'm just going to get a chumash. Okay, we're in Shmois Chof Beis. Okay, the first mention, if anybody has a chumash in front of them, is in Posuk Ches, Ad Ho Elohim Yovo Yidvar Shneim. That's the first one. Then it says, Asher Yarshiun Elohim. That's the second mention. Where does it say, Venikrav Barabais? Sorry. In Posuk number Zion. In Zion it says, Venikrav Barabais Elho Elohim. That's number one. Then in the next pasuk it says, Ad ho Elohim yavoi dvar shneim. And then finally, Asher Yarshion Elohim. So Yarshion Elohim is actually the third mention in the pasuk. So the very first mention, which is actually V'nikrav Balabais Elohim, we are ignoring. Because as we said, the first mention cannot be used for a drasha. So ignore that. What does it say next time? Ad ho Elohim yavoi dvar Hashem. Now that's in the singular. But the very final mention when it says Asher Yarshion Elohim, that is in the double, that's plural. So the third one, using Gzeira Shava, shows me that so too the second mention also has to be understood in the plural, so therefore it's two and two. So the Lamata teaches me the Lamalo. Elohim number three teaches me how to understand Elohim number two, and Elohim number one is not being used for a drasha at all.
When it says Rabbi Omer b'chamisha k'teish yigma adid b'shlosha, who's saying that?
That's the Gemara suggesting that in Rebbe. It wasn't Rebbe talking.
So in other words, they're saying Rebbe Omer b'chamisha. They know that that's they, but they're saying then they're asking why? Oh, it must be k'teish yigma adid b'shlosha. Right. They're just making a svara. There's nothing backing that up.
Right, and that's what the Gemara says. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So therefore, the Gemara is concluding that no, it must be that the way he learns the psukim. So again, Elohim number one is out of the picture. Elohim number three is written in the plural. That says the Gemara, Ma Lamato Shnayim, just like the very last, that's why it's called Lamato, it's mentioned at the bottom, is written in the plural, Aflamalo, Aflamalo Shnayim. So I've got two and two altogether. So I'm so far up to four. Well, then we evoke the normal rule, Ve'en Bezdin Shokul. We can't have an even number of Bezdin. Moisifin Aleim Oid Echod. So you add one more, Harikan Chamisha. That's how you get to five. So therefore, the Gemara is telling you it is a very local drosha with regard to this Beis Din. There's no point in bringing me questions from the 71 and the 23. It's all irrelevant. You're right. There is no such halacha that the final number has to be a particular number. It all depends on the initial number. The initial number is either 71 or 23 or, well, we thought it was 3. It's actually 5, according to Rebbe. The Rabbanon hold it's 3. That was our Mishnah. That's why this perek is called Dinim Omnes B'Shloisha. But Rebbe says it's 5. Why? Again, because we have those double mentions of Elohim. Each one means 2. So it's 4 altogether. Then you've got to add 1. Says Rashi, 4 lines from the bottom. Yarshiun, Loshein Rabim. That's the plural. Lamato, what's Lamato? That's the last mention, Yarshiun Elohim. That's the double. Lamalo, that's the second mention, Adhu Elohim Yavoi. Vahahu. And what about the other one, which is the very first mention? The Vanikrav, quote unquote, Loi Kochoshiv. We're not reckoning that now. We're not talking about that. The Kosova, because apparently he holds in Dershin Tchilois. We had this opinion before that you don't mention, you don't, can't make a drosha from the first time that something is mentioned.
Did the Gemara earlier, when they said Elohim means singular, misunderstand the word Elohim as being singular? Like,
no, Elohim does mean singular. That's not
so
the
he's
debate.
Saying Elohim means, but the Herod's saying Elohim means plural.
No, he's not. He's telling you Yarshion means plural. Elohim definitely means singular. The question is how to understand the word Yarshion.
So did the Gemara originally think the Yarshion was singular and not plural? Right. Is that the machlokas here?
That's the Gemara's next line. Says the Gemara, turning over the page, what about the Rabbanon? So if Rebbe has proved inherently from the Psukim, you've got to have 2 plus 2, that's 4. And then you've got to add another one because I can't have an even number of Beis Din. Well, the ball now gets thrown back to Rabbanon's court because the question now becomes, so how do they get to a number of 3? The Rabbanon Yarshiun Ksiv. Look at the way Yarshiun is written. Yud Reish Shin Yud Ayin Nun. There is no Vav. Here we get to a big discussion. We've actually had this, those who are with us for Sukkah. And this is going to be the entire Omid and going over the page. What do you do when you have a word which is written one way but pronounced differently? So if you look in the Torah, there is actually no Vav in the word Yarshiun. So the way it's written is in the singular. But the way you pronounce the word Yarshiun is actually in the plural. So do you follow the way it's written or do you follow the pronunciation? So the Rabbanon clearly follow the way it's written. And they say, I'm sorry, there is no Vav. So therefore there's no drasha at all. So for it's not 2 and 2, it's 1 and 1. Whereas Rebbe clearly follows the pronunciation, and this is what we call, and this is going to be the entire Omud, Yesh Eim Lemikra. We go with the Mikra, which means it's the way it's read, pronounced, not the way it's written. Okay, we have to hold it over here.
Rebbe, can I ask you a quick question on the Parsha, quickly?
You've got one minute and eight seconds.
Do you have any idea why the word Na'ara regarding Rifka is without a hey? Did you see this anywhere?
Yeah, that's a good example of something which is a Creek Siv. Again, it's written one way and pronounced different.
You know what the meaning is behind it? Why the Torah wrote Na'ara without a hey for Rifka?
If you look in Pashas Kisetze, I think you'll find it there. Also, it's about 10 times in Pashas Kisetze you have the same phenomena. I'll look it up, Blined. I'll try and have an answer by tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. I was thinking, so whatever. Okay.
Go off.